Shavuot Tov, Rabbi Osai. It's great to see you. And obviously, I just want to give a big hat tip to Sam Kramer for even organizing this in the first place. This year literally would not have happened if it weren't for him and his persistence. We should all learn and shtag from his persistence and the meat of that. And most importantly, the whole entire shir tonight is going to be Lili Nishmas, his father, which is Leib ben
Nachman Leib ben Shaya
Cohen. All of the Torah that we learn, hopefully there'll be Torah that we learn, will be a zechut to him, and it should be in his merit, and may his neshoma have an aliyah to the highest of heights.
Amen.
All right, Rabbosai. Tonight, the shir is called The Building of a Ben Torah. What's in your Mishkan? So we just came out of a series of parshas where we're dealing with Teruma, Tetzava, Vayakal, Pekude, and you can make a big mistake. You could simply think that they're architectural parshas in nature, and oh great, now I know all the details to make the Mishkan. And you would be missing the point so profoundly. Why? How do we know? Well, the Malbim in Ramazei HaMishkan, and also Rav Yehoshua Heller in Sefer Ol Yehoshua, clearly in Drush 1, tells us specifically that all the details that the Torah discusses at length regarding the construction of the Mishkan and what the components are and where and how, all of those things are there to teach us how we are supposed to build ourselves. Every component, the littlest of components, is connected a part and piece of who you are. And we know this. Everybody says, oh yeah, I know that from Shmos 25:8, right? Which is Hashem commands us to what? V'asuli mikdash, v'shekhanati b'tocham, right? Make for me a mikdash, and I will dwell among them inside of them. We generalize that pasuk a lot to say that's a charge, in a certain sense, broadly, for us to, you know, become our best selves, and we use it as a blueprint for growth, but we only see it generally speaking. That's the misnomer. Really, and what we're going to talk about tonight is some of the details, and not just the clothes, but the pratiot of what that means. And really, this is not just some architectural blueprint for how to build the Mishkan. Every little nook and cranny, so to speak, that you can find is a unique part and parcel of who you are. And so it's a specific and detailed blueprint for us to be able to transform ourselves into the Mikdash, the Mishkan that Hashem wants us to be. And it's also crucial to know that He commanded us to be like this. Right? He commanded us to build a Mishkan, and our sages tell us and our rabbis tell us that He commanded us to be able to be that Mikdash in our door, so that way He can dwell with us. And so, of course, like we said, that the original pasuk is the charge to build the Mishkan, but it goes a lot deeper than that. So where should we start? Where do we start? We always start with the Gemara, right? We start with the main crux and sources of things. Before we know what to put in our Mishkan, what to put in our Mikdash, we need to know where to begin. What do we build first? Do I build the Kalim? Do I build the Mishkan itself? So that brings us to a Gemara. That's the first in the source sheet, boys. We have our Gemara in Brachas 55a. So you say, what should we be building first? Is going to directly correspond to what Hashem instructed Bezalel to build first. What Hashem commanded Bezalel to build first is going to be what we have to build first. So here's the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said that Rabbi Yonatan said, Bezalel al shem chachmato. Bezalel was called, his name, Bezalel, was based on his wisdom, Nikra, it was called. He was called that based on his wisdom. Why? And we probably know this Gemara, but if we don't, it's good. It's good to, for those who do know, it's good for Zara, and for those who don't, it's mission critical to know this Gemara. When the Holy One, blessed is He, said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech emor lo livetzalel. Go say to Bezalel, Asay li mishkan, Aron v'chelim. Make a tabernacle, an ark and vessels. What did Moshe do? He reverses it. I didn't say that. The Gemara says that. Halach Moshe v'hafach v'amor lo. Moshe went and reversed it. And he said, what did he say? Asay Aaron v'chelim a-mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest and loftiest Moshe Rabbeinu, reversed it and said, make an Aaron, make an ark, and vessels, and then the tabernacle, and then the Mishkan, the stuff around it. And this is the crux that we're going to focus on tonight. Amar lo, Bezalel says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our master. Minhago shel olam, the minug, the way of the world. Adam bone bias is for an Adam to build a house. V'acharkach, and then afterwards, machnisin l'tochachim. Then afterwards, I can bring it in. Think about it. Would you put your couch and all your stuff in, and you have all your kalim, and then you put the build house around it? No way. You'd miss the whole mark. Oh, good to see you guys. Good to see you guys. You'd miss the mark. You'd miss the whole essence of everything. And so B'Tsalel has this beautiful midah of understanding practically how the world works based on Minhag HaSha'olam. So we say, Va'ata Omer. And at that moment, right? And we're going to say, Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you mean? Maybe you were B'Tsal Kel. Maybe you were in the shadow of God. Because you're right. I reversed it. My mamish reversed it. You were right. We were just saying, Dov, we were just talking about the famous Gemara in Brachos 55a that said that when Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the commandment to tell B'Tsalel to build the Aron and to build the Mishkan, that he reverses it. He says to build all the kalim first. And B'Tsalel's like, weren't you maybe Hashem told you with a lot of deference, but like maybe he said to build it the other way around. And so what we should really be focused on is understanding clearly what this Gemara wants us to know. What do I benefit from knowing what came first, the chicken or the egg? No. It's mamish, the fundamental element of what you have to build first for yourself. Before we can understand what to put in our Mishkan, our own personalistic Mishkan, we need to know the structure in which Hashem asked us to set up that Mishkan. So it's clear from our Gemara that there's a special ingredient that we all need in order to properly build our Mishkan. And so like I just said, before we even try to explore what to put in it, all the kalim, we need to know first how to build it. Okay, so how did Hashem ask Moshe really to build it? He asked him to build a bias first. And it took B'Tsalel with a level of practicality and understanding how the nuts and bolts, pun intended, how the nuts and bolts of reality worked down here in this door, in this olam, to realize, oh, hey, I can't just be all up in the sky. Of like how things should be with the yud and the spirituality and the nature of life and understanding that this is the essence, this is it. Well, maybe if you put the Mishkan in the sky, it would work that way. But down here, where I have to work with rain, animals, life, like you got to build the house first, guy. So, and that is something that B'Tsalel had. And oftentimes, when we talk about our sages, we talk about the major players in the Chumash, B'Tsalel does not get much of a mention. This is the time we get four parshas that deal with what he did. And yet, no matter what, he still barely gets any attention. We're going to give him attention tonight and understand and outline this idea of Minhag HaSha'olam, the way of the world, and how that has to be our starting point for how we can even attempt to build our own, like we said, personalistic mikdash inside of us. So we need to appreciate Minhag HaSha'olam, the way the real world works practically and through the use of common sense. So just as B'Tsalel told Moshe that the kalim needed a house to protect them before they could be built, we too need it. If anybody has a source sheet, just pass them around if you want. Like I mentioned, my computer, unfortunately, my printer broke, so I only got a few of them floating around. But if you want, take a look. If not, no big deal. So like we said, just as B'Tsalel told Moshe that the kalim needed a house to protect them before they could be really built properly, we too need a house around the kalim that we hope to construct for our Mishkan. What's that house? That house is understanding what B'Tsalel knew, how the world around us works, and how to do that with common sense. And so it involves, like we said, appreciating the nuts and bolts of how things actually function down here in the world. Because you could be a person who is pie in the sky learning all day long, but if you can't translate any of that into your maisim, into any of your actions, and how you interact with the world, you are missing the whole crux of why we learn in the first place, right? Right, we learn in order to do, and hopefully we learn in order to teach, in order to, not only ourselves, but our friends, our family, talmidim. And so we have to become, I have this in big bold, we need to become connoisseurs of Minhag HaSha'olam. We need to be deeply grounded in reality and practicality. So I'm going to let most of you at the end of this year stew on how you could personally do that. But I'm going to give two mice, and one's a mice of Rav, and one's just a mice of myself. I am example one. This happens too many times when I study for smicha, when I study. I do not have this. I'm teaching this, but I'm also a part of this. I'm also trying to grow in this. Example one. So what does it mean to be a connoisseur of Minhag HaShaolam? It means being mature enough to know that staying up to learn until 2 a.m. will likely lead to you having too little sleep, maybe you're going to miss chakras, maybe you're going to be grouchy, and maybe you're going to negatively impact your Beit Adam L'Chaveiro the following day. Maisa about myself and being open. Baruch Hashem, I passed my bus b'chol v'smicha test so far. And little by little, we're on our way to becoming Rabbi Bob. But it takes a lot of time. And so there will be many, and with three children, and with also hopefully doing financial coaching and helping my wife and everything else, it is hard. And so I'm up late. I'm up late at night often. And so there are times that the following day, I'll be like, you know what? I think it might have been better if I went to bed like a mensch. I would have been better to my wife. I would have been better to my family. And you know what? If I missed that Rabbi Akiva Eger, I could have done that tonight. I'm example one. We should learn a lesson from that. Yeah? Anytime that you're staying up too late to do something that you think is like geschmack and the best thing possible, and you're like, I'm going to stay up extra late, think about what comes off of that. Think about what comes off of that. I mean, obviously, it's a Dara Pashit. If you're up until 2 a.m. looking at YouTube videos, you're in trouble, right? Go to bed so you can wake up. Now, maybe other people have issues with sleeping. But it doesn't matter. That's a different category. Normal stomp. Like, if you realize that your actions are going to be doing something that's going to be counterproductive in the long term for you, that is missing the boat of Minhag HaShaolam. You miss the nuts and bolts of the world. Sometimes that happens. Oftentimes I don't, you know, I'm not always example one, but I wanted to give one right off the bat that we can all relate to and open up to. But example two is a Meiser of, and I really love this one. Rebbe, whenever I say Rebbe, that means Rabbi Gershenfeld of my yeshiva. So Rebbe gave over to us a Maisa, and I will never forget it. I literally wrote it down for all y'all. I'll send it out in the group chat too for anybody who missed it. North 8th crew, we miss you. Hopefully you'll be listening. You got the source sheet will be coming down soon too. So a great Rosh Yeshiva was once invited to come to Mudas, Connecticut for a Kiruv trip run by Rabbi Gershenfeld. It's called Mudas, right? So Rabbi Gershenfeld said, oh great, this huge Rosh Yeshiva is going to be coming to Mudas. I'm going to go and pick him up. Natural thing for a good guy to go. Let me go pick him up. And so Rabbi Rosenberg, who was the one who was really in charge of the whole thing, and if anybody have heard anything about Rabbi Rosenberg, he never minced words. He was a very, very like, tell it like it is guy. An amazing Rav also. So Rabbi Rosenberg said, yeah, I don't think it's going to work out. Rabbi Gershenfeld's like, what do you mean? Why won't it work out? So Rabbi Rosenberg says, basically, in spite of the great knowledge of this Torah scholar, of this humongous Rosh Yeshiva, he doesn't really know how the world works so well. I think he's just going to not get off the train. He's just going to, like, miss the train. Like, he's just going to miss it. And Rabbi Gershenfeld's like, what do you mean, Rabbi Rosenberg? I'm going to go pick him up. I don't believe you. Yeah, so what does he do? He goes to New Haven. He goes right to the train station right at the right time. Lo and behold, what happens? Rabbi Rosenberg is 100% right. Train comes in. Rosh Yeshiva is not there. So Rabbi Gershenfeld is on the phone. He doesn't tell us all of the story out of tremendous deference for this Rosh Yeshiva, who is an amazing person. Picks up the phone. What's going on? Did it? And Rebbe's like, well, then I'll just chase him to the next train station. In his car from Mudas, from New Haven, to the next place. Mamash happened. Mamash Amaisarav goes to the next station. And like I leave off on the source sheet, out of respect for the great Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe never told us how many stops the Rosh Yeshiva missed. But you can imagine. Okay. So now, this all comes from our Gemara. Remember, I don't share anything that doesn't come out of a Maisa, that doesn't come out from a Gemara, doesn't come out from a Medrash. We have sources here. But Saul is giving us the operating principle for how we want our own Mishkan to run. Now, big caveat. There are some people in this world who don't have to follow this rubric, but I'm not talking to any of them. That great Rosh Yeshiva, maybe he didn't need to follow the following rubric. Maybe there are people in this world who are on such a high, lofty madriga that if they miss the train 80,000 times, the learning that they did on the train or whatever they were involved in is gonna champion and exceed far tremendously, you know, whatever getting on time to the Kiruv trip would have been. We're not in that camp. I'm not in that camp. I'm speaking to a door of Bitsalels. I'm speaking to a door of people who are trying to orient themselves around how Hashem asked us, based on Bitsalels' understanding of this world, how to build ourselves. So that's the first step. The first thing we need to know is how the world runs, right? We can't be so stuck in the clouds, or even a safer, all day long without seeing the ramifications of our actions. At some point, we need to get off the train, arrive at our destination, and make life happen. So before we go weiter, I'll take any questions if we have any so far. Everybody good so far? Very important. We need to stay practical and grounded. It's very easy to get all up in, you know, the nuances and the technicalities and the this and the that. But at some point, you have to realize that being a practical, down-to-earth person who makes life happen is vital. Now, how you do that, that's up to you in your unique way. Everybody is going to have, this comes from Rabbi Yosef Lynch. I've said this also before, but everybody's going to have a unique Shabbos table. We're all going to make Kiddush. We're all going to make Motzi. We're all going to wash. We're all going to do the same types of things. But the way in which that we do our own personal, oh, there he is. That is how we're going to do it. The way in which we run that Shabbos table is going to look different than everybody else, right? So the main framework in which we have our Mishkan built will be a little bit different, but these are really the guidelines for it. And Bezalel telling us to be practical, down to earth, and to orient things properly is our clarion call for how to start. Okay, so like we said, you can't be stuck in the clouds. You got to be able to make life happen. And now, once we have that as our guidepost, and we work on that, because that's actually a Musar Shmuz in itself. How do I become a practical person? If I am that guy who's up in the clouds all the time, how do I relate to a world when I'm really... That's for a different shir. Feel free to talk to me after shir. We could go into that in detail. If you like that, we could focus on that and make a whole shir on that or shmuz. But just for now, getting into the crux and the kishkas of what we have here, it's necessary to know that being a practical person who can take all of those lofty concepts and translate them into, well, I have three kids that I have to bathe for Shabbos. I have to actually be here even though my wife is expecting and she is exhausted and I now have to be here, you know, making Kiddush and that geshmak for it. It's a lot different than all of the books that you read and all the shmuzim. There's an incredibly vital understanding of Minhag HaShaolam. And if we lack that, all of the kalim that we put in our Mishkan are going to also be lacking. So let's just simmer and sit on what it is to be a practical person. And then we can go weiter in, what do I put into my Mishkan? Right? What do I put into myself? Because again, every single thing in the Mishkan, we said in Sefer Ohel Yoshua and also Ramazia Mishkan from the Malbim, are going to tell us that everything that exists in that Mishkan is something that has to exist in ourselves. There isn't a component or a keli in there that at some point during your life, you shouldn't have inside of you. We literally have the framework for Musar in the four parshas everybody kind of like breezes through thinking like, this is redundant. You go to, your kids are going to come home for Vayakel and Pakure with Pesach stuff. My seven-year-old, bless his heart, was like, Rebbe didn't do parsha because he said it's the same thing. What? No. I'm like, okay, son, bring him this Ramazia Mishkan from the mom. I'm like, okay, so you move on. And the Rebbe's have a lot to do. But I'm telling you, Parsha is going to be something that is so fundamental and it's going to get breezed through with your children. Hone in on it now and give it over as best as you can. It's not a repeat. It's mamash not a repeat. We can go into a shmuz on what's the differences, all the different things there too. The before the Chet HaEgel, after the Chet HaEgel, all the nuances and technicalities on how everything has to be different now for a door that failed the test, right? But that's a whole different shmooze. But we need to have the understanding of what's going on to see that these four parshas are our blueprint for how to become our best selves in life. They're my favorite parts in the Torah. If you're allowed to have favorites, they're mine. So now let's just dig into the kishkas while we have some more time. Let's just dig into the kishkas of what should be in our Mishkan. And the way to know that is to know what was in the Mishkan already and the deep symbolism involved in it. So the krushim. There were beams, the very thing that Bezalel told us to first build before all the kalim, right, that the Gemara Bracha said. The beams were the things that held up and supported the Mishkan. And what were they made out of? If I remember what the wood was called?
Acacia.
That's acacia. What's it in Hebrew? Give me.
Shittim.
Very good. What's the root of shittim? Anybody who's a Rabbi Gershav Talmud better speak up right now. If you don't. Very good. Very good, Phil. Shtus. Shote. Foolish wood. Why in God's name? Nathan's remembering now. Yeah, bringing it back to you. I'm that Moloch that taps you on the whatever, makes you forget all your Chabuah Torah. Hopefully you remember some of your Rabbi Gershwin Torah. Hopefully you remember everything too, but Shota wood, right? What's that mean? What does it mean? And why is that? Of all the wood, you didn't take like the biggest, most amazing geshmaka wood that you could possibly have. You took Shota wood, foolish wood. What's that mean? It means that inside ourselves, we have to take our own foolishness that we have. And at 38, I have foolishness, so you better tell yourselves that you have it too deep inside of you. You find it. You take your foolishness and you carve it into something beautiful and usable in the world. How do you do that? You have to understand the nature of a fool, right? A fool says something that's usually false. He says sheker. When you rearrange the letters in the word sheker, shin kaf resh, and you put them in the correct alphabetical order, they spell keresh. When a person takes the time, this is the source sheet now, when a person takes the time to reorder his thinking, and you strip away the falsehood that resides within you, the mature and well-developed thoughts that remain can solidify into the very beams that hold up your internal spiritual world. I'm going to say that again, because that's everything. When you take the garbage inside of you that you haven't been able to work on yet, foolishness is what we're calling it, because that's a nice way of saying it, but whatever shtus that you happen to have inside of you, and you can carve that up into something more mature, and you strip away all of the nonsense there, you reorder your thinking, your logic, your predispositions, whatever it might have been, your mitos, flaws, and challenges. You take the very nature of what was once sheker, and you make it a keresh. That's the start of the crux of the outer workings of your Mishkan. It goes deeper. The menorah. Menorah represents, don't just tell me Torah, menorah represents what kind of Torah? What part of Torah does it represent? Torah, short Torah Shebal Peh. Very good. If you had the source in front of you, yeah. There you go. Torah Shebal Peh. We also know the Aron, the Luchot, we're in there, that's Torah Shebaktav. But let's just appreciate for a second, the menorah specifically represented Torah Shebal Peh. We have to put Torah Shebal Peh inside of ourselves. How do you do that? Right? How do you do that? Well, I'm just going to learn. There's more to it than that. There was a menorah. And what did that menorah have on it? And this comes from Rav Emanuel Bernstein. It's also my safe for a legacy of light. But it's the crux of everything. The menorah had cups, globes, and flowers on it. The cups, what's a cup do? It holds something. We have to put cups on our menorah. What's that mean? You learn as much Torah as you can. And I always joke with you, like, I don't remember if it was the movie Billy Madison, forgive me or not, but like, stay here as long as you can, or whatever the joke was, stay in school.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, yeah, Billy Madison. Learn Torah now while you can. Because you're going to have a wife and kids, and it's going to change, man. And you're going to be up till 4 in the morning, hopefully learning Basim B'chalim. It's not easy. It's not easy. Yeah. Learn now while you can. As much as you can. And learn what you love. Don't feel pressured to have to, I have to do my Shnai Mikra, I have to do that. Maybe if you like Shnai Mikra, or whatever it might be for you, but you gotta learn it. And do it now while you have less resistance. You have the wind at your back right now. Y'all just got back from yeshiva, or you've been in a chabura surrounded by people who are just like jazzed and in it to win it. And your hardest thing right now is, how do I get a job? How do I get married? And how do I deal with this snoring roommate? Like, momish. And you're like, that's hard enough already, Bob. And you're on, yeah, it is. It is. But life will only get more complicated if you're doing it right. Life will only get more complicated and more challenging. While you have a cup that has no holes in it right now, fill it with as much Torah as you possibly can. That's the first ornament. That's the first part of the menorah. Next, globes. Globes contain, I call them globes. You can call them whatever you want. They're the balls, the circles. They're spheres. And they don't let anything out. They contain everything. They hold everything in. That's the chazar you do. Make sure you remember the Torah that you learn. Woe to the one who has like a hole in his pocket, right? Imagine you put coins in your pocket and you're walking. This might be a Chofetz Chaim. You're walking down the street, then you have like money in your pocket. And you're like, okay. And then you're like, oh gosh, I just realized like some of my money fell out. Like who wouldn't go back to try to pick up those coins? But yet how often are we like, yeah, I went to Night Seder. Did you chazer? Did you think about that awesome shir? Hat tip to Rav Banish, to Daniel Sheinfeld, and to everybody else who put those awesome things together for Rav Banish's shir about, like, you know, all of the different chazara for not bar not and everything else. Have you looked it over? Just like, yeah, I learned, I'm Yotze. Remember, you're learning. It's everything. That's the globe. And then flowers. You gotta be careful with flowers. You hear a lot of people, flowers represent your chedushim. A lot of people just want to spout off chedushim. Rabbi Bernstein had a very sharp thing for people. He said, woe to the ones who put like flowers together without having the cups and the globes in place. Those aren't really flowers, are they? They smell very different. If you put a chiddush out there without having any real appreciation or for Torah, I'm just going to posit what I feel like. You're missing the mark. Learn a lot of Torah, do a lot of chazara, and then you can say something. Then you have what to say. And you better. Because at that stage, you're leaps and bounds ahead of, I would argue, 90% of all class. If you have really learned as much as you possibly can and have retained as much as you possibly can, you're mechayev to make chedushim. That's the menorah. And whatever, however bright your menorah might be, however many cups, globes, or you know, flowers you have, that's all relative to your nature. But you're chayev. If the Mishkan had a menorah, and Hashem commanded us to build a Mishkan, and we know that Chazal tell us that we have to build it inside of ourselves with all the kelim, we have to have a menorah also. And it represents oral law, so where do you start from? Where does every one of my shirim start from? We just start from a Gemara and Barachas with Pitzala, right? The Aron. The Aron represents, we said, Torah Shvaktav. Or, what does Or mean? Rabbi Gershon Talmidim, tell me, what does Or light? What does Or mean? Light, illumination, right? Being a light for others. So obviously, you need to know Torah Shvaktav very, very well. You have to learn it in detail and all that. But what does it really symbolize? What's the essence? What's the crux of the Aron? Understanding that you have to be a positive light for others and the world that you live in. You need to be the light. You need to be the light. And it's important to really see that, like, you can be the light. We talked about this around the bonfire, at this house, Mamish, not too far away. We said, you need to be an illuminator, not a consumer. Be an illuminator, not a consumer. And this is my taich, if I'm allowed to have a flower. This is my taich. I'm saying that is part of your avoda in the Mishkan. You have to be an illuminator. You have to be a person who has that component in your Mishkan. In whatever capacity, it might be small, it doesn't have to be Torah related. It might just be that I go to work every day and I'm the guy that wears this thing on my head and I'm the mensch. It could be that I'm the one that smiles at the cashier all the time. It could be, you know, simple. Or maybe it is loftier, bigger, whatever it is for you, but you figure out what it is so that you could put an Aron in your Mishkan. The Shulchan. Rabbi Osai, for the Edison Chabura, I can't stress enough. You have to have a Shulchan in your Mishkan. Okay? It's extremely important. What's the Shulchan and the Lechem upon him symbolize? Making a Parnasa. Having a job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to have this in our Mishkan. Whoever you are, in whatever capacity, you're going to need to be able to support yourself and a family. And you cannot simply expect a wife to pick that up. Maybe you're learning, great, but maybe you're not. And again, I said, when we started out, I'm speaking to a room of Bitzalos, right? There are Moshe Rabbeinus out there, and there are Aaron HaKohens out there. And maybe somebody at this table is going to be somebody who's going to be learning full time and not working at all. And that's a different matzav. But who I think Rabbi Bilowitz is trying to mold, and who I think Rabbeinus is trying to mold, is a person who's going to be incredibly stark with learning, but Mamish is encouraging you to get a job. Yeah? Whether you're in medical school, or whether you're working already, or whatever you're involved in, there's a level of understanding, I got to put bread on the table. The lechem upon him was on the shulchan. It wasn't just some empty table. That might be the most practical etzah that we have here. And so it might be hard. Imamish might be hard. But we have to put these things in our Mishkan. And last but not least, red dyed ram skins. Those things were used to make one of the coverings for the Mishkan. And Rebbe, which we said was our bigger shifa, Rebbe said basically that it connotes, red means like blood, sweat, and tears, putting your all into everything that you do. And so you have to fearlessly pursue whatever you're going after with tenacity, with putting your blood, sweat, and tears into it. Whatever it might be. And it might be small. It might be just one little thing you're working towards. I want to do this a little better. But whatever it is, you have to make sure that you have those on or in your own Mishkan. And as we come close to the end of time, I just want to say that I think this group of people is very, very amazing and has the capacity to do all this. You can be the Bezalel who first focuses on being practical and Minhag HaShe'olam and says, I'm going to build with practicality of how this real world operates, with what it is in the way things are here down on planet Earth, with the fact that maybe I do have to work to make money. Maybe you need two breadwinners in your family to make things happen. Or, you know what, maybe I'm not waking up the way I should and I have to change my life. Or maybe I am, maybe I'm learning too much and I'm not doing this. Or maybe I'm not learning that. You have to have das to know how to practically operate in the world. And like we said with the Maisa of Rebbe Gershenfeld, right? You and the Rosh Yeshiva who didn't make it to Mudas on time. We have to make sure that we get off the train properly, effectively, in the right way, in a balanced way, and make life happen. So we should be Zocha to be these people who can make our Mishkan in that way, put those Kalim in it, and realize that by doing that, we are enabling ourselves to be people that Hashem will actually live with, dwell with, and be with. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.